Check out All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron, TFG1 Mike. I can dig it.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers 2.0, Episode 5. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me as always is...
TFG1 Mike, hello.
Hello, what's going on?
Nothing. Same shit, different day.
Yes, and the top 100 is complete.
Yes.
Save one wrap-up episode.
Well, yeah, but that's just a wrap-up, but the actual list is complete. Oh, God, I will be so glad when that project fades into obscurity. I'm not trying to be negative here, but wow.
Yeah, we still have to do that again next year with the new shows that have come out since, and really actually pay attention to some of the shows that we may not have watched and give some other things Captain Planet a removal. And... re-rank some of the other things, because if I had to do it again this time, there were shows that I would not put on my top 100 separate list, and there are things that I would put, and there were things that I would rearrange.
Yeah. But anyway, we're here to talk about Transformer stuff, since we haven't had an episode in, what, 2-3 weeks?
Yes, TF Prime was last on television.
Yes, and now it's back.
Yes, back like the plague.
Yes.
Anyways, we'll be right back after this with the news.
I would have waited an eternity for this. It's over, Prime.
First up on the docket today of Transformers news is, well, Transformers Dark of the Moon BS. I guess I'll start out with the high point because I want to hear your rant on the next part of it, so... the Rosie Huntington-Whiteley secretly wishing for Transformers 4. She ended up on an interview with MTV News saying, oh, I like it, and I did research on the character, and she found out that Carly was supposed to end up marrying Sam when, actually, it's Spike. Different character. But technically the same type of character. So, yes. I really doubt there'll be a Transformers 4, because, I mean, really, what are they going to do in the next one? They've kind of exhausted all avenues with this part of the timeline. I think they need to take it in a completely different direction, but that's just my point of view.
Okay, let's look at the calendar, shall we? Today is April 11th, 2011. We have approximately 4 months until July 1st. And they're already talking about possibly, hopefully, in the future, blah, 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 Transformers 4. First of all, I hate repeating myself because this is the same shit I said about Revenge of the Fallen last year. They're like, oh, well, Transformers 3 is blah, 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 blah. And the second film hadn't even fucking come out yet. Same thing with this. Dark of the Moon is still 4 months away, and they're already, you know, people are already speculating and talking about potentially a Transformers 4. Give it a fucking rest.
Yeah.
I'm just sick of it. It's like, why are you going to hype a potential, you know, not even greenlit fourth film when the third film hasn't even come out yet?
Because they're just thinking that this is going to be
the best movie ever. Not.
Well, it can't be any worse than Revenge of the Fallen.
True.
Although I still think she's going to be kind of a stick figure like Megan Fox was in the first movie, but that's just my, you know.
Well, first of all, this is the first, like, actual video I've seen of this chick, and this is, like, the first time I've actually heard her actually talk other than just standing in a spotlight showing off lingerie. You know, and she has this, like, British type. I don't know if she's British. I'm not saying she is or she isn't, but she has this, like, British type accent, and I'm thinking, oh God, again, with the foreign fucking actors, I hope to God she has a fairly decent American accent for this role, because yikes.
So what they're gonna do is they're gonna, for Transformers 4, they're gonna jump 40 years in the future, and you're gonna have Jean-Luc Picard playing Sam.
And 7 of 9 playing Carly. That would be awesome.
That would be hilarious. But anyways, that's a side note. We're going to jump from this slightly happier note to a pile of dog shit. In the form of Transformers Dark of the Moon Linkin Park involvement. I really want to hear your thoughts on this.
Nerd
news, but I want to hear it again.
Seriously, fuck Linkin Park. Seriously, like, I know Michael Bay and Paramount is all about the licensed artist and all that, getting an official licensed artist to do this, but seriously, what I've done was good for Transformers 1. New Divide, oh God, shitty song for a shitty movie.
The only good part was the instrumentals.
Exactly, and I do have the instrumental version of New Divide. I prefer it without the fucking lyrics.
Exactly.
Linkin Park themselves, in the beginning, they were great. Their two best albums are Hybrid Theory and Meteora.
Exactly.
But as they've gone along, they've kind of just faded into obscurity, and it's like it's like they're making...
They've strayed too far from their trademark.
Exactly that, and it's like they're relying on a, you know, to be the quote unquote Transformers film artists, you know, and it's like, really, I do not want this. As much as I liked them back in the day, I do not want this damn band being the quote unquote official artist of Transformers. That's Stan Bush's job. And speaking of which, why the fuck isn't Michael Bay offered something to Stan Bush? This song that Linkin Park has on their latest album, A Thousand Sun or whatever the fuck it's called, Burning in the Skies. I heard this song, I saw a little video on YouTube. It does not fit the footage that we have seen so far from Dark of the Moon.
Yeah, I can honestly say that I'm tired of Linkin Park. I liked them back when they were in the Hybrid Theory Meteora area. I liked the first song from the first movie. That is, until I heard it on every fucking trailer that came out.
Yep.
And after that, I've been pretty much done with Linkin Park. I do not want to hear any more songs from them. They're so fucking annoying to listen to now. And quite honestly, I wish they would put some other band in here. I mean, hell, put... for how, you know, dark and grungy this is, I don't know, put fucking Godsmack or put, you know, Disturbed in there, or Drowning Pool, and then have a Stan Bush song for Sam's theme in there.
Yeah, now, I know that, you know, you mentioned a lot of really great bands. I think, honestly, if you were going to put anybody into Transformers Dark of the Moon as an artist for the film, Godsmack would be good, but Sully Erna himself, the lead singer, the lead singer of Godsmack, he just released a solo album called Avalon last year, and it is amazing what he did with that album, with the people that he worked with on that. Just him alone would make this movie a hell of a lot better. You know, I hate to say it, but they put in a Nickelback song from their latest album in I almost said Revenge of the Moon. Holy crap.
Same thing.
Same thing, yeah. They put Burn It to the Ground in there, like, in one of Bumblebee's scenes. So, I mean, I would even take a Nickelback, you know, leading song for Dark of the Moon over... I'm tired of the same shit every fucking movie. And every movie so far, the two movies so far, it's coincided with Linkin Park's new album releases. it's not like Michael Bay or whoever is going to Linkin Park and saying, we want a specific song for our movie that isn't a track on your album. You know, what I've done was great for the first film, but it was also part of their new album at the time, Minutes to Midnight. This one here, Burning in the Skies, is part of their new album, A Thousand Suns, or whatever the hell it's called. You know, if they're going to create something for this movie, they need to create something completely separate from their fucking album list.
Yeah, I can honestly say I'm just, like I said before, I'm just tired of Linkin Park. They need, I mean, I understand why they're doing it, but they need a new face of, or new audio, just new music in general. This has been beaten into the ground so many damn times, and I know it sounds like we're bashing the movie before it even starts.
It's not even about the movie, it's about the fact of their association with it. I mean, get something fucking original. You know, it's not, you know, I honestly am looking forward to Dark of the Moon itself, just because of, from what I've seen, it looks a hell of a lot better than Revenge of the Fallen. Hell, it looks a hell of a lot better than the first movie, to be honest with you. But it's mainly, where I'm bashing is I'm bashing Linkin Park, the band. I'm not bashing the movie. I'm just saying Michael Bay needs to get off his ass and find something original for music for this film.
Well, and I think Michael Bay is pretty much done at this point. I think he wants to go back to, like, doing Bad Boys and doing other film franchises he's either A, butchered / created. It just depends on your point of view. But, I mean, yeah. He does good work for action films. I'm not trying to bash the man, but he is stuck in his ways.
Yep.
So, anyways, let's move on to a different subject completely from the movies. We're going to jump into Transformers Headmasters, the Takara Collection.
Yes.
Yes, it comes out July 5th from Shout Factory, and they will release it, the complete series, for the first time in the United States. The box art is available now. It's got a picture of, it looks like Chrome Dome and Six Shot.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it on Amazon.com as well for pre-order. Which I believe is like $20.99 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
It's something around there on Amazon. And so far, yes, it is $20.99. So far, it's, I mean, they pretty much said it's just going to be the subs. It's not going to be a dub. There's no vocal in American that they've led onto yet, unless they're hiding that information, which I highly doubt, because Brian Ward from Shout Factory has pretty much said that Hasbro's pretty much saying, you know, they don't even really want it, which, if that's the case, why even fucking release it?
Well, see, the thing of it is, though, when, like, a couple years ago, we did a story on Hasbro reacquiring their library from some company. I forget what the company's name was, but they signed like a $7 billion deal, I don't know, it was some sort of money deal with it was like 700,000 or 700 million. I don't remember what the actual figure was, but I know there was a seven in it, to reacquire the Sunbow library and all that. And then immediately after that deal went through and was finalized, the news came out that to be the distributor for Transformers, for G.I. Joe, for this, that, and the other thing, and everything else. Now, they did release G1. They did release G1 and all that stuff, and we were speculative of, fuck it, just, the recorder's still working, so you're just going to have to edit this. It's still going.
Cool. Yes.
Where do we want to pick up? Okay. You know, so they announced that distribution deal. We were getting G1. At the time, that's all we thought we were going to get. But it turns out, now we're getting Beast Wars, we're getting this Takara collection, so, you know, we're getting Gem and Mask, which isn't Transformers, but, you know, we've gotten G.I. Joe, so we're getting a lot of the old Sunbow Hasbro properties from Shout Factory as distribution. So I don't see why Hasbro would would give them that deal and say, oh, well, we don't want you to release this. That makes no sense if you already gave them the damn deal.
Well, it's because it's a Takara series. It had nothing to do with Hasbro originally.
Okay, yeah.
And
all right.
That's why they're kind of wanting to butcher it. I mean, because it's such a niche market.
Yeah.
And to me, that seemed idiotic because, I mean, granted, it is such a small market, but if they would actually either, A, get a real voice cast, people that swear by the Star Dubs are fucking idiots. Because the Star Dubs, I've watched clips from, it's so batshit retarded. The translations are off. The vocals are off. The names are off. It's just dumb. And anybody that tells you otherwise is an idiot. And, yes, I know I'm going to get flack for that, but I don't really care because I'm tired of reading about it on the shout boards. So fuck you.
The only interesting thing for me on Headmasters, this is the last I'll say about it, the only interesting thing was the Soundwave Blaster fight where they both die and they both get reformatted into Sound Blaster and Twin Cast. Other than that, I don't care about Headmasters.
And I like that episode, and I'm not quite fond of where Prime dies, but I mean, granted, I've been doing voices for this series, like the fan dub, since 2005.
Yeah.
And I was just a part of a new version that some of my friends over at TFCOG put together, mainly Grimbot. And he recasted everybody, did it with the original Japanese animation, the original Japanese intros, everything. He replaced the sound effects and music with Generation 1 stuff that Shout already has the license for.
Right.
And then had our voices replacing characters in there sounding exactly like their Generation 1 counterparts.
Right.
I mean, I can see where Hasbro says no to that. Honestly, I can see why.
Yeah.
I wish they would take it because it would at least give a proper setup to the series for those that do not want to read subtitles.
Yeah.
Because there's no way in hell they're going to get the original voice actors, and there's some of them that aren't even with us today. So.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, though, is that, you know, they're touting this, oh, it's the first time it's available in the U.S., blah, 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 blah. That's what the internet's for. Like, everybody knows. I love TV shows on DVD. That's one of the best things for me, specifically, is one of my, you know, my favorite things. However, I just don't think that this is worth putting on a DVD set. I mean, yeah, it's going to be one set according to Sound Factory, which is fine, but I don't know. I mean, considering you can pretty much find the damn thing online.
Predaconempire.com.
You know, you can find it online everywhere. I mean,
yeah, and I can see that too, but at the same time, like, I almost want to get it only because it's Headmasters and only because I've been working on it. It's not necessarily because it's Japanese or anything. It's,
right,
it's more so because of that. And I can honestly say, though, if I had nothing to do with this series, I would not buy it.
Yeah.
I probably will buy it. I'll probably wait. I have no need for it or cash flow right now for it.
I mean, I'm proud that Shout Factory is doing this and, you know, getting it out here to the U.S. market. But for me,
yes,
it's not something I will buy. You know, like I said, the three main sets from Shout that I'm looking forward to this year is the Beast Wars set, Gem, and Mask. Just because Gem never got finished and Mask, this is the first time Mask has been released on DVD in the U.S. ever. So I will be definitely getting that one. Any other discussion on Headmasters?
Not really. I mean, I'm looking forward to this, but I'm also looking forward to reboot the complete series and Beast Wars, the complete series re-release. Even though I have the entire series, be happy to have the Shout version and see what they've done with it, as long as, and also the special features. So I will be keeping both sets. So I guess moving on to the Shout Factory Beast Wars DVD full series set, the complete features that are on it, it's got all 52 episodes. It's in one box. Comes with a special bonus extra as well in the form of the Transformers Timelines Dawn of Futures Past prequel comic.
Awesome.
Which technically is a fan production and a part of the convention, which...
It was a BotCon. It was part of BotCon 06. It was,
well, and this is why I don't get why they don't have Theft of the Golden Disc on there, because it technically is before the comic.
Right, but if it's quality over having it if it's not a good enough, like if Shout can't transfer it well. You know, I saw a few tweets from Brian Ward about if it's not the best quality possible, they won't use it. You know what I mean? So
the only problem I have with that is there's that clip of Beast Wars Megatron with Optimal Optimus putting Generation 1 Megatron's spark back. Meaning that that's such a low quality, they will not include that on this disc set.
Yep.
Which is, in my opinion, bullshit, because it belongs on there. It is actual canon. It is actually part of this because it actually has the original animator's work.
Right, yeah.
I could see that being on there before the theft, but, you know, if that's not on there, that's kind of a slap in the face.
Well, I mean, you know, look at the G1 set, though. I mean, those are all new features. They didn't use any of the old Rhino interviews, which I think is kind of a shame, specifically when it comes to, like, the Flint Dilly interview that's on the Shout Factory ones, the Buzz
Pixie. It could come down to rights, though.
Right, yeah, that's what it probably boils down to, is rights of who has that. Yeah. My only real complaint about the Beast Wars Complete Series thing is it's not a collectible packaging. It's just a regular big box package. It's not like... And granted, the G1 Matrix thing, that's just a giant oversized box. I mean, it is a nice collectible package, but it's not like the G.I. Joe thing where it's an actual Foot Locker, you know. But I kind of wish that they would have done something like, I don't know, the Golden Disc or something like that. You know what I mean?
Some sort of pod.
Or a stasis pod, or the Axelon, or the Dark Side, or something special with it. But I'm glad at least it is getting a re-release, and hopefully they will put the episodes in the right order, unlike Rhino. Yes.
Yeah, and I told Brian about that while he was working on it. So
sweet.
But and also the Dawn of Futures Past comic, which I have four of. I bought them at the time dirt cheap, and I have one of the Diamond, one of the BotCon, one of another set, and another of the regular BotCon one, but that means I'll have five when I buy this. But yeah, it's sad to see that all the voice actors turned down doing interviews.
Did they?
Yes. Brian's Twitter said that the Beast Wars voice actors kindly turned him down as far as getting them involved with any extras.
Really? Wow.
So I don't know what's up with that. To me, it might seem something like a Hasbro issue, almost, or a time issue. I'm almost wanting to say it's a Hasbro issue just because Hasbro's burned so many people involved with Beast Wars.
Wow, that's...
Because you know for a fact they're not going to have Bob Forward on there.
Well, yeah, but... But wait a minute, on that listing on Shout's website, it said something about interview section.
Yes, it's got animators and producers of the show, not voice actors.
Oh, see, that's not...
It's, yeah.
Yeah, I almost don't want to get the set now.
I'm going to buy it, regardless, but...
I mean, it's nice that it's being re-released, and it's nice that people will be able to buy it again for, you know, a better price than what the Rhino sets go for, but... Wow, that's kind of... I mean, and the Rhino sets themselves, really, the only...
Their menus suck. The way their summaries are put together, the episode order, those were pretty much the downfall.
Right, but I mean, as far as the Rhino sets specifically, none of those had voice actor interviews. The only set that had voice actor interview was with...
Beast Machines.
Beast Machines with David Kay and Sue Blue. Which, yeah, dang...
Which means they're probably eventually going to have Beast Machines as well, and I don't honestly know if I'll buy that just because the Beast Machines set is so nice as it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll actually buy another Beast Machines, but the Beast Wars set, it'll be nice to have actual box art that looks nicer than what we got.
Yeah, yeah. I guess moving on to some BotCon stuff, I really don't want to really report on this first story because it's only... TFW's voting. It's not the actual. It's Hall of Fame 2011, the winner. And according to TFW's poll on their website specifically, Grimlock won. The other runners-up were Shockwave, Wasp Rider, Jazz. And I guess some fan choice, which was Erector. I don't even want to know. But it basically says the votes are in and counted. The campaign bandwagons have been and gone. And now we can reveal the winners of your Transformers Hall of Fame nominations. The winner with a whopping 434 votes is the Dinobot Commander Grimlock. Let's see. We will submit these results to Hasbro. So, yeah, this isn't the official Hall of Fame fifth person, fifth fan choice, or whatever the hell. This isn't the official winner. This is just the winner of TFW's voting. So, I don't know. I really don't. I'm going to wait until, you know, Hasbro actually announces, oh, hey, this is the person that won.
Yeah. Also, you did, I don't know if you're done with that one.
What?
You skipped a story.
Which story?
Andrew Wildman shares his thoughts on starting Transformers 81, or number 81 petition.
Oh, that's comic stuff. I don't know anything about comic stuff, so that's why I skipped it.
Well, I was just bringing it up because I was an avid reader of the Marvel comics up through issue 80, and basically Furman and Wildman were talking about trying to pick up where the story left off in the old Marvel Comics run of the Transformers comics, basically skipping Generation 2's very 90s vibe, and kind of like how G.I. Joe picked up from the Marvel line. Which I think would be interesting, because I personally hate the IDW stuff right now.
I'm so far out of it. That's why I don't normally report on comic stuff, because if I'm not in the know on it, I can't form a general opinion about it. So.
Alrighty then. I guess we'll move on to the Transformers Animated Trypticon Prison.
Yeah, BotCon tweeted this this morning or this afternoon about part of the comic book for this year's comic for the animated comic, and it's very, very cool. Originally people thought that the prison was going to be Kaon Prison. But I like this a little bit better. And the message to M. Mateer and at Derek J. Wyatt, here it is, Trypticon Prison, wait till you see the guards, D, or colon D, or smiley face, or whatever the hell that is. Looks pretty cool. I've said from the beginning that if I can't get the actual box set this year, which I'm probably not going to get, I still want to get my hands on the comic, because I want to see the comic, because it looks really, really awesome.
Yes, this the stuff does look pretty cool for animated, and this image looks really badass.
Yeah, it does. I guess the last item today, which will actually lead us into our topic discussion or Transformers Prime talk, is actually Transformers Prime news, episodes 14 and 15. MSN's Transformers Prime listing has updated with titles of the next two Transformers Prime episodes. They are Out of His Head and Shadow Zone. Given the description of episode 13 offered, Out of His Head might well be continuation of Sick Mind. Speaking of Sick Mind, a more detailed synopsis is now available on TV Guide. A Decepticon plague infects Optimus Prime, so RC and Bumblebee sneak onto the Nemesis to find the cure. I really don't... Like, I like seeing what they're going to come out with, because I like actually watching the episodes. I don't care for news items like this. Like, I don't really care for spoilers. That's fine. I don't mind being spoiled on stuff. But it's one of those things where it's a speculative story, because we don't know. Like, we speculated on Convoy, assuming it had something to do with Optimus's Japanese name, when, in fact, it was just a convoy of human bad guys. You know,
Yeah, they definitely are very cryptic with their episode titles. That's for damn sure. And it's hard to
read. I love the series so far, but I just hate news stories like this because it's like, oh, we're going to sit here and tease you with this, and you're going to be wondering about it. And then it's like, you know, when we get to the episode, it's like, oh, it wasn't anything what we thought of. Or, yes, it was. It was just this simple thing. And it's like, really? Ugh.
And for those that do not know, they moved Transformers Prime.
Yes.
To Saturday evenings at 4 p.m.
No, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Yes. And, yeah, I don't get the channel, so that just means I have to wait until longer to get the episode from YouTube.
Well, to be fair, the episode went fairly up on YouTube fairly quickly after Saturday night. So, I mean, because I watched it, like, late Saturday night into Sunday morning, and we are recording this Monday night. With this move, as long as Transformers Prime is still airing new episodes, this also means that the recording of ATTF moves from Saturday to Monday night, Saturday morning to Monday night, so...
But it's been good episodes so far.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, you know, they're so far out of the ones outside of the one that we're going to talk about today here in a little bit. So far out of the ones that I've seen, I don't have a single problem with them. I know a lot of people don't like Miko, and that's fine. I don't find her that annoying. She was kind of like in the like when we first met her. But she's no kicker.
No. It seems like they're finally hitting their stride on some of the humans, and they're not annoying.
Yeah.
So hopefully that fixes the issues that have been going on with these characters since the beginning. So I guess we will... I was going to bring up the episode after the one we're talking about, but I think I'll save that until after we discuss today's episode. But we will be right back, and we will jump into a couple of emails that we've received.
Yes.
All Things Transformers will be back after these messages.
Soundwave, jam that transmission!
Rumble Frenzy, Ravage Rat-Bat, Inject, Operation Interference.
No, there will be no Operation Interference. I am TFG1 Mike, and you should be listening to my very first podcast, the TFG1 Podcast. 24 episodes covering the entire U.S. run of the 1984 Transformers cartoon. I also have a few supplemental episodes and an interview with Stan Bush. I bring in guest hosts who will be full-time co-hosts in Steve Megatron and fan of the show now co-host Pecan Court Michael. So check out the TFG1 Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Transform and roll out!
Welcome to my throne room, fugitives. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes, or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFG1 Mike, and Pecan Court Michael move on to Transformers Animated, coming June 26, 2011, Transformation Animation Podcast. 15 podcast episodes covering all three seasons of Transformers Animated and the awesome toy line as well. We will also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped this summer with the Geekcast Radio Network's next Transformers franchise podcast, Transformation Animation Podcast.
Decepticons, transform and rise up!
You are listening to All Things Transformers. Maximals, maximize!
Welcome back to All Things Transformers, and now we're going to get into the email section. Take it away, Mike.
All Things Burpformers.
Burp.
Yes. I have to apologize to Mike Turner. He was the one that sent in both emails. Sometimes when I get emails regarding ATTF or TFG1 or ToyCast, I usually just file them away to later, and I don't ever remember to bring them back up, but I finally remembered to forward these to Steve. The first one from Mike Turner, he says, this is basically the Grand Maul versus Unicron head thing. This is basically the argument that Steve, Michael, Wilson, and I had in Beast Unleashed, and Mr. Turner here says, dude, you could not be more wrong. The Grand Maul is smaller, quite simply because the Maximals and the Predacons Viacons are smaller than the G1s. The Maxis Predacons are roughly human-sized, give or take, using that scale. I'd say that the Grand Maul is at least the same size as Metroplex's head, maybe Fort Max at the largest. Also, I'm not sure if you saw my last email, but Vincent Price is not the voice of Lord Zarek. Stan Jones was. The same guy who voices Scourge and a few other characters on the Rebirth episodes. Mike, yeah, we know. I know all about the fact that Price is not Zarek. I thought he was, because I thought it sounded a lot like... Oh, God. I thought he sounded a lot like Vincent Van Gool from 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo at the time. But yes, I know, Stan Jones is the voice of Zarek. As far as Grand Maul, I'm kind of over this argument.
I'm not. I agree completely with you, Mike.
Crappy all over again. Yes, thank you.
Not you. Mike Turner. Because if you look, you can take the Grand Maul Megatron head and you can put it on top of and mount it on Fortress Maximus, the toys. Not only but it was also used...
We're talking about toys, we're talking about show model.
Oh, it was. It was used in Robots in Disguise that way.
Oh, well, I've never seen Robots in Disguise, so...
Boo on you! Yes, that's how it actually came about.
Okay, well...
It puts it in scale, so... Therefore, Grand Maul is not as big as Unicron's head. It's like the size of his eyeball, or his nose.
I still disagree, but it doesn't matter. It's an old argument.
Yes, so I'm moving on to Mike's other email. It says, just listen to the episode today. Great as always. I agree with you that in all these episodes, Optimus Prime seems to go down pretty easily.
Now, first, before you continue, he sent this email to me, so he's agreeing with me.
Yes. Eh, whatever. You're a douche.
I know. Go ahead.
Yeah, you admitted it. I think that the writers of this show have fallen into the trap that the writers of the Justice League show fell into in the first season, which is to demonstrate that the new villain of the week is a real threat. You have them take down Superman, the most powerful member of the League. Unfortunately, doing this makes Superman and now Optimus Prime look like a bitch, who is really not deserving of the reputation he has as the greatest warrior of them all. Also, it seems to follow the trend that Transformers has seemed to follow since Armada. This is that a one-on-one fight, Optimus will be outclassed by Megatron 100% of the time unless he gets some kind of power-up or combines with someone else. This thinking has even permeated the movies. Movie 1, Optimus didn't meet Megatron. He got his ass kicked. Until Sam kicked Megatron's ass with the Allspark. Movie 2, granted it was a three-on-one fight in the forest that killed Prime, but the point is he still couldn't stand against Megatron. Then jump to the end of the film, and Prime has to combine with Jetfire's corpse to defeat Megatron and the Fallen. Even in Prime, the one fight they had together, Optimus still couldn't beat Megatron. He had to blow the space bridge up on him to beat him. I want my G1 Optimus Prime back, the Prime that all but the craziest or most powerful Decepticons really didn't want to face in battle. How about you, Mike Turner?
Well, I don't know. I mean, technically, Megatron in Transformers Prime had zombie Dark Energon power, so Megatron did have a one-up on Optimus, so it wasn't really a fair fight. Kind of like it wasn't a fair fight in G1 when Megatron had all of the Decepticons' abilities in Heavy Metal War. I will agree that Optimus kind of looks a little bit like Superman from Season 1 of JL because of just, you know, him immediately going down, and I am kind of sick of that. But at this point, from what we've seen of Transformers Prime, since Megatron is just getting buffed, which is part of today's episode that we'll talk about in a bit.
Waxon, waxoth.
But in Transformers Prime, it's like Prime really has no, like, since Megatron's out of commission, Optimus has no real person to battle. I mean, Starscream's a, granted, I love Transformers Prime Starscream. Because he's more devious, he's not such a wimpy bastard, but still, every time more than two Autobots show up, Starscream will wimp out and run away. I don't know. I'm hoping they bring back Megatron before the end of the season.
I'm hoping he comes back and creates the season finale.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Like, he's like, 1, 2, 3, go! And then just destroys them, you know, just... It's like a Slagicon all over. I would just love nothing more than to see Megatron come back and stomp some ass. And then, you know, you see all the Autobots damaged, and then, yeah. I would like to see Prime actually, you know, in a hand-to-hand, you know, one shall stand, one shall fall, knock on ass, both they fall. You know, I mean, just, it would be nice to see a more so classic G1 fight, but I know that'll never happen.
I don't know. I mean, so far I'm happy with where Prime is going, but it's all up to speculation as far as, because like we're not insiders. People at TFW are not insiders. They don't know. They you know, everybody in the fandom can just speculate. But so far there hasn't been a downright episode that I just don't like.
Yeah, I can honestly say that as well. I've liked pretty much every episode we've had so far, which you can download on PredaconEmpire.com.
You're supposed to whisper it like this, but it's a sad plug.
I have been fairly entertained by the show. I mean, it's not been a disappointment. Whereas you look at TF Animated, you had hit or miss. It was a lot of hit or miss until you hit season 3, and then it was just all gold. And I think that with this, Orsi and Kurtzman are doing an awesome job with the writing, considering they don't have Michael fucking Bay standing over their shoulders saying, "No, do it my way. I want the robots that that have the gold teeth and are a stereotype, and then I want the you know, pissing on people and the humping jokes. That'll be great. Yeah, it's funny.
Great balls of fire."
And, you know, it's just, I'm more so in tune with the, you know, comedy they have going in TF Prime that, you know, is...
Because the common stuff is more with the humans interacting with their, quote-unquote, team-up partners.
Look at Scraplets, and you get Bolt screaming like a little girl, and then you have, you know, Miko looking at him going, did you just scream like a girl? No. You know, and just it's just hilarious. I mean, it's not even dumb humor. It's just it's ironic. It's,
yeah.
So I mean, the show in general knows how to pack a punch, hit a comedy cue, and knows how to take the story and run with it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you get comedy in the least places you expect it. And you get really satirical humor as well, because like everything that comes out of Knockout's mouth is satire, and it's just awesome so far. I mean, I loved, like, since I've gone back and watched Animated, and of course we'll get to this again once we start TAP, but you know, when I went back and I actually watched Animated from beginning to end, I did like each episode for what it was. Yes, there are some hit and misses in there, but we'll get to that later in Transformation Animation. But it's not an overall bad... Transformers Animated is not something I consider a bad Transformers cartoon. Bad Transformers cartoon is G2, is Armada, Energon, and Cybertron. You know,
I will agree. I put Rid before Armada.
Well, yeah, again, my only real reason for not seeing Rid is because Neil fucking Kaplan is the voice of Optimus Prime, and I saw a special feature with him, and he's like, oh, well, I tried to copy Peter Cullen. Well, you did a really shitty job of it. But getting back on track here, Transformers Prime, people just need to give it time. There was a podcast I guested on. Crap, who was it with?
Radio Free Cybertron?
No, yeah, I was on RFC recently, but we were talking about the subscription service bullshit. I was on, I think I was on the Scratchpad from Toon Zone with Sketch and his friends and all that, because they were doing a hub block. And they're like, oh, well, we're only 10 episodes in, and every one of us absolutely hates the show, and blah, blah, blah. And I made a point in that, and I said, look, you know, you guys, we're only 10 episodes in. We can't just, like, it's not that bad, you know? It's not complete and utter shit yet. I'm not saying it's going to go that way, but I'm just saying, I think that, I mean, as we're doing these, you know, follow-alongs, as we watch them, I think that's fine. But if you're just going to sit there and do an overall hub network episode and just bash Transformers Prime under the table, that's stupid because they're not even halfway through the season yet. It makes no sense. But anyway, I guess, shall we get to the discussion?
Yes, we will get to it right after these messages.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike. Transform and roll out!
And we're back with the Transformers Prime discussion. This week is Episode 11, Speed Metal. This episode, it has, it starts out with Knockout doing a street race with a bunch of humans doing illegal street racing. And one of the guys decides that he's hot shit and reaches over and scratches the paint on Knockout. Little does he know that that's a Transformer. And he likes his stylish paint almost as much as Sunstreaker and G1. So he says, you scratch my paint, I scratch yours, and then races off and shoves the guy off a cliff. And, yes. Then it goes on, and it has Jack being bullied at school by Vince, who mocks RC's vehicle mode, wants him to race, and, you know, Jack won't because RC won't let him until she gets made fun of and then decides to blow him out of the water. All this to impress a girl that Jack likes. Meanwhile, on the Nemesis, Breakdown is buffing the comatose Megatron, which I might add is hilarious.
Wax on, wax off.
And then Starscream wanders in to check on the patient and wonders aloud where Knockout's got to. The Con walks in and complaining about his scratched paint, and Starscream tells him how, you know, unapproving he is of his whole situation, and tells Knockout he's a failure. And Knockout pisses Starscream off by not calling him Lord.
Yes.
And Starscream throws a temper tantrum. Anyways, then back at base, Starscream's, you know, telling Jack not to tell anybody. And still the kids knew, and then everybody ends up in this anyway. He borrows Bumblebee, goes in the street race. The bully gets fucked up by Breakdown. At which point, later in the battle, Optimus Prime rips a door off of Breakdown, steals the kid out. And, yes, they end up back. they trick the kid to think that, he got jumped and thrown in a trunk, which is hilarious. Starscream's very upset with Knockout and decides to make him learn his lesson and pay the price. Unfortunately for Knockout, he once again addresses Starscream as Commander instead of Lord, so Starscream gives him something more to cry about. He sharpens his blade and scratches his paint.
Yep.
Because it's a cosmetic issue. And then Sierra asks Jack for a ride. He turns her down, and then RC feels like being nice this one time, and so Jack and Sierra are zooming off through the sunset. So, yes, that is the episode.
As much as I love Sue Blue as RC in G1, I really love the voice actress that's doing RC in this, because first of all, she sounds badass at times, and other times she sounds really remorseful. Not remorseful, but caring, you know? And I just really love it. When she goes,
Jack, ladies' vital stats are her own business.
Yes. It sounds like she's in a relationship with him.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Keep your mouth shut. But, yes. Yeah, I would agree. The voice actress does do a very well job with this. I am pretty impressed with the voice cast, despite the fact that none of them sound like previous versions.
Besides their own right.
Yes, obviously. And
yeah, you know, everybody. Well, besides like Bumblebee, and actually Bumblebee and Optimus are the only two people that really don't emote well for me when it comes to the face versus the voice talking. One of the reasons why I absolutely love the voice actress on RC is because her model, the actual RC design, the face, it mimics with what the voice actress is doing. So, and I really like that about her. Bulkhead, the same way. He does the same thing. Ratchet does the same thing as well. The Ratchet design, the face, the mouth, it emotes very well with the inflections that the voice actors are giving the characters. Even though this is the first episode so far that Ratchet hasn't been in, I wonder if maybe some scraplets get a hold of him again.
Yes. One of my favorite scenes from this episode was between Breakdown and Starscream in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "No worries, Herr Commandant. It is Lord to you. Only if Megatron takes a nosedive."
Oh, that's Knockout and Starscream, not...
Yes, that's what I meant.
Sorry.
"Only if Megatron takes a nosedive." Yeah, and then he says, "The day our master emerges from stasis, I will graciously relinquish the title, but I believe that outcome is unlikely. Something to do with the quality of medical care around here. So continue buffing. We do want Megatron looking his best for the memorial." Starscream leaves. Buff this. That was awesome.
Yeah. I really like Knockout. My only problem is with Knockout and Breakdown. Like, we saw Breakdown, like, in another episode. Like, when he premiered, we saw him during the day briefly. My only problem so far with Knockout, we've only seen him at, like, night scenes. I think there was, like, maybe one specific day scene in another episode, but we've only really seen him at night. And I want to see him during the day. I want to see his full colors and all that stuff. I don't want to just see him up against a dark background.
Yeah. I would like to see him in full color. That would be cool. I actually can't wait to see Transformers Prime action figures to see what all this entails. But yes, I did like the whole racing thing. That kind of brought back memories from high school of driving like a badass and damaging my vehicle. Though I would never try this again. But
your wife would kill you.
She about killed me the last time. And I did it a lot in school. I went through tires and brakes like no other.
Oh boy.
Yes, I was horrible in the winter too. I mean, I used to push my truck to see how fast it would go. I did get it up to 115 one time. That was as far as I pushed it, and it was a 20-year-old truck.
The new Optimus Prime line is not going to be "give me your face." It's going to be "give me your door," because he ripped Knockout's door right off.
Give me the boy.
Well, that's not where I was going to go, but okay.
That's what Prime says.
I know, but that's...
Throw him in my chassis.
Oh, my God. Yeah, can we move on, please?
Yes. I like where Knockout tells him, though, about the door. Do you know how hard that is to replace?
Yeah, that's so awesome.
He's so like Sunstreaker in G1.
Oh, yeah.
So worried about his external looks and appearance, but he likes the speed. But, yes, I think that this episode is pretty much a throwaway, other than the fact that it shows, you know, where some of them are at this point in time, and plus it shows that the Autobots are sympathetic to the humans, you know, general needs in their own society.
Yeah, you know, this was the only episode that after I watched it, I kind of felt like, meh. I didn't dislike it, but at the same time, it didn't excite me as much as the previous episode did. I don't know. And again, I think it's because majority of this episode was done at nighttime. And I don't like the way that Transformers Prime night scenes are going. I mean, it'd be different if it was like a highway scene or something like that with lights that are around the, you know, on the freeway or something like that. Or it'd be different if they were in a lighted area, but just the whole, you know, street racing, dirt road thing and being pitch black around everybody, I just didn't take too well to that. I'm not saying I dislike this episode. It was a fairly decent episode, but it just wasn't one. This is a definite throwaway episode. I mean, this is one of those one-offs that just you could just watch like for background noise.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It wasn't really, I don't know, all that interesting for as far as a plot. I mean, it was a fun episode, but it wasn't by any means necessary for the grand scheme of thing. So, ultimately, I don't really care for this episode, but it wasn't a bad episode.
Yeah. One of the trivia bits on the wiki, it says, Sierra's friend continues to remain nameless despite having appeared in more episodes than Sierra herself at this point. The girl really needs to introduce herself.
Yeah.
And then, again, Bulkhead once again decides to forgo saving someone out of simple dislike. What a jerk. One of the reasons why I absolutely love Bulkhead in this series versus Bulkhead in animated is simply because of the voice actor. Kevin Michael Richardson is a much better fit for Bulkhead, both in, like, high action, like, you know, menacing things, and also his comedic stuff with... You know, when RC was asking him, did you know about this? I think Kevin Michael Richardson has done a much better job than Bill Faker, Backy, or whatever the hell his name is, and that was in animated as Bulkhead.
The guy that played Patrick in SpongeBob.
Yes.
Boo.
Which I find it funny. I mean, it's kind of off topic. I find it funny that Tom Kenny played SpongeBob, Bill Fagerbakke played Patrick, and then they go to Transformers Animated. Kenny is playing Starscream, and Fagerbakke is playing Bulkhead, which I thought that was... It would have been nice if they had, like, some sort of Bulkhead-Starscream fight. That would have been cool.
So, but, yes, I think we'll jump to, as a part of the discussion, we will jump to the teaser for next week's episode, which is
Predatory.
Yes.
When I first saw this clip, I immediately went to Twitter and said, "Ooh, Black Arachnia in Transformers Prime," and then General Techno immediately responded, "That's not Black Arachnia, it's Arachnid." I was like, "Oh, okay." But still, Gina Torres as a Black Arachnia type character voicing her, oh my god.
Yeah, I haven't actually like paid full attention to listening to it.
You need to go back and watch the clip then, because wow.
Yes, it's I did like what I saw though. It has, you know, the beam, and then it has, you know, clips of the. Okay, yeah, I recognize the voice now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is badass what they did. it's just as sleek as regular Black Arachnia, but it's got, you know, more of an RC mixed with Black Arachnia vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's pretty wicked looking, though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll give Transformers Prime credit for their teasers. They really hook you in.
Oh yeah, they're good at it too with this new series. I mean, they yank you right from the get-go.
Yep.
I am definitely looking forward to seeing this episode, especially for the fact that they went into a Beast Wars reference.
Well,
despite the fact it's not Black Arachnia, it's still it's still a Beast Wars reference. It's a beast.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's equals more win. The only thing that kind of sucks is they do the hero or the villain of the week.
See, I don't like.
I mean, I don't disagree with it, but I don't like that they don't have just a regular cast that just fights.
Right, but see, this way, well, and this is just me, you know, assuming here. Or it's just me, you know.
Well, you know what? Assume.
Well, okay. This is me.
This is shut up. You and me.
Yeah, this is me hypothesizing. With all these guest stars, well, minus The Rock, obviously, since Cliffjumper is dead. You know, with all these guest stars that they brought in and all these characters that they're bringing in. Like, this episode was the first time that we saw, well, the second time that we saw Breakdown and Knockout. So they're, like, part of the team now. So it's not just, you know, offline Megatron, Starscream, and Soundwave. It's plus Knockout and Breakdown. With the addition of Arachnid, it could be something that they're going to lead up to later where they all come together as one. You know what I mean? So I don't really mind the villain of the week thing with this series because it's something that it almost reminds me of Rebirth almost because you've got the human in what's his name? Oh, God. Clancy Brown. You've got the mech people. So what I'm hypothesizing about is potentially maybe the mech people will team up with the Decepticons or something of that nature. I don't know. I'm just, you know, pulling stuff out of my hat here. I'm not really sure, but I don't mind the villain of the week thing, seeing as how Megatron's offline. I wish that there was more of a story with the actual Decepticons rather than doing Villain of the Week, but it's okay for the first season. I mean, they are just finding their footing with this, but so far, they've knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah, I agree. This series overall has been great.
Yep.
Cannot wait for more.
Yep.
Yes. So I guess I'll jump to the next section, which we don't need a little extra part exiting the show for. Yes, that was a mouthful. What are you looking forward to in Transformers at this point in time?
I wish I was actually more prepared for this. You know, just seeing more episodes of Prime, now that it's back and it's off its quote-unquote hiatus that it was on. Especially with the move to Saturdays, just seeing more of it that way. You know, maybe one of these days I'll buy the season pass from iTunes. That way I can see it immediately in really, really good quality. As far as Transformers, other stuff, really, at this point, the Beast Wars DVD, but really, yeah, like, I'm so far out of collecting at this point. Like, there are so many figures I would love to have at this point because I don't know how long I'm going to be in this quote unquote transitional move. So I'm still in this transitional apartment. I still haven't unpacked a damn thing, you know. So at this point, I'm not buying any toys. I'm not buying any things. I would actually like to get the All Hail Megatron hardcover, which I believe is a collected edition of that entire comic run. I don't know, I kind of wanted to read that story at some point. I don't know if I'll get it anytime soon, but I guess mainly just more Prime, more Transformers Prime stuff.
Yeah, I'm waiting on more Transformers Prime, of course, the Beast Wars set, and just overall, pretty much that. I think that's just it for me right now, other than you know, the movie that comes out later this year, but that's more so out of anticipation, more so than whether I think it'll be good or not.
Right.
But I think that wraps it up for this week. We will be back next week talking more Transformers Prime and hopefully more actual news and not Linkin Park or anything like that. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers 2.0. If you want to leave us feedback on the show, there are many ways to do this. First, you can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes.
Please do this since we have new episodes.
Yes, we have nothing since 2010, and we've rebooted since then. So, yes, have fun. Comment. Do it well. Or if you want your comments to be part of the show, call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name so we know how to address you. You can also send me emails, steve@geekcastradio.com. If you would like to keep up to date with all things Geekcast Radio related, the best thing to do is become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network or facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. We do not use the forums anymore, so boo.
The forums are dead.
Pretty much.
Megatron killed them. Oh, and yes, I'm talking in some weird voice because I don't know why, because something's stuck in my throat.
That's not all that's stuck in your throat.
Shut up, Barney.
Excellent. Yes. Follow us on Twitter. My Twitter name is SCP21. What are your Twitter name?
Mine is TFG1Mike.
Yes, and we have an interloper. Anyways,
an interloper?
Trent Phillips saying, piss off. Yes. See you next week.
Yeah.